The fifth sign in the Gospel of John, taken from the booklet entitled The Eight Signs of the Gospel of John and distributed by Brother M. Walker of Northfield in Birmingham, UK. In the booklet, the fifth sign is identified as Messiah calms the sea and is found in the Gospel of John chapter 6 verses 15 to 21, which I'll read first from the New King James Version. Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, starting at verse 15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again into the mountain by himself alone. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they'd rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. In the booklet it says that this is one of the shortest of the in the series, and the fifth sign is also without question one of the most dramatic. A picture is presented of raging seas, of men fighting for their lives against the elements, of their terror at the prospects of death by drowning. But the final scene is one of peace and tranquility, as the Lord conquers the difficulties and brings his friends safely to their goal. The fourth and fifth signs are significantly linked. Having symbolically offered himself to the people, in verses 11 and 12, he departed, and this process was literally followed in due course of time. The narrative states that the Lord departed into a high mountain, to which Mark adds to pray, in chapter 6 of Mark, verse 46. In this way, the scripture speaks symbolically of Christ being taken up into heaven, or a high mountain, having offered himself as a sacrifice, where he engages in his priestly occupation of addressing prayer to the Father. The people would have taken him by force to make him a king, and this was doubtless due to the enthusiasm which had resulted from the miracle performed when he fed the 5,000. Food was scarce in those days, and the multitude were anxious to embrace the benefactor who provided them with sustenance. Unfortunately, the spiritual significance of that which had occurred did not impress them. However, this was not the time for him to ascend to the throne, and knowing this, he retired from the scene before the project could be put into effect. His disciples were thus left alone, and this sign portrays them in their perilous task of negotiating the storms of life. It's evident that the disciples would have been shipwrecked without Christ's help. And so it is in real life. At even, the disciples entered their boat. Even speaks of the beginning of the age of Gentile darkness. Eventually darkness descended upon them and they were left alone. Their goal was Capernaum, which means city of comfort, and therefore provides an apt symbol for the kingdom. But their journey was not to be an easy one. The way was fraught with every possible danger that the sea and elements could effectively produce. Sea is a symbol for people, and therefore represents the nations. The wind blew, and the wind has been blowing strongly ever since. It is a symbol for the doctrines of men, in contrast to the commandments of Christ. For example, as shown in Ephesians 4, verse 14. Where we read that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Such a wind indeed is sufficiently powerful to blow us off course from our intended haven, the kingdom of God. Courage, determination and unrelating effort together with faith in Yahweh help us and will prove the only effective counter to the evil winds that blow continually upon the Sea of Nations. It was necessary for the disciples to row their boat and this indicates that effort and labour were required. With a definite object in view, they could not afford to be blown about by the dictates of the wind and the sea. According to Josephus, the Sea of Tiberias was 5 miles in breadth and 18 miles long, and was said to be subject to sudden and terrible storms, causing great hardship and even loss of life to those men who earned their livelihood by casting nets upon its waters. In spite of the difficulties, their relief did not come speedily. Matthew records that it was in the fourth watch that Jesus came unto them. No mention is made in the Old Testament of four watches, but only of three. Thus, it was a Roman custom to divide the watches into four: the first from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., the second from 9 p.m. to 12 midnight, the third from midnight to 3 a.m., and the fourth from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. It was therefore between the hours of 3 and 6 in the morning that Christ appeared for the salvation of his disciples. The symbology here is perfect. It will be near the end of the long Gentile night that the Lord Jesus will appear to save his disciples. And as the night draws to a close, the dawn of the new millennial day will appear. The Lord Jesus appeared walking upon the sea. In like manner, at the appointed time, he will walk upon the nations, having power over them, and going forth for the salvation of his people. "It is I, be not afraid," were the words uttered to bring comfort to the disciples, whereupon they willingly received him into the ship. This is important. Christ does not force himself upon men. They must acknowledge their need of him and his saving power. "Whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved." And note that in the New Testament passages where we find this phrase, in Acts 2.21 and 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2, the word call means to invoke or appeal to. There is power great enough to overcome the storms of life. This is the strength of Yahweh, also revealed in Scripture as El, that is, supreme power or strength. The Lord Jesus drew upon this power for all his strength, and we're told this in Psalm 61, verse 3, where we read, "For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy." The Lord Jesus drew upon this power, and it brought him victory. It can also do the same for us. The confession of Eliphaz is worthy of consideration. "I would seek unto El and unto Elohim would I commit my cause," we read in Job 5, verse 8. The climax of this sign is recorded in verse 21 of John's chapter 6. With the Lord's help and divine power, the disciples finally arrived in port safe and sound. Thus, this sign gives a picture of what the future will yet reveal. Christ will return. The storms of life will cease. For the inheritors of the kingdom, the struggles and fears of mortal life will be over, and as one united body of people, they will reach their haven in company with their glorious Lord. The aim of this sign to Israel is to show that only Yahweh has the power to save, and that all laws are subject to his will. The aim of the sign to us is to show that the Lord Jesus will care for us amid the storms of life.